in the limelight.
Following Israeli regime's recent savage attack on Gaza, the last two Tory candidates for PM are out-competing each other in supporting it, says Jonathan Cook, author, in an article published under the heading Contenders for Boris Johnson's Crown Stress Fealty to Israeli Regime. Here's the story. As the Zionist regime unleashed a surprise wave of airstrikes on Gaza recently, the two remaining conservative politicians vying to replace disgraced Prime Minister Boris Johnson publicized letters vowing fealty to the Israeli regime. Their timing underscored the degree to which British politicians on both sides of the aisle have now joined their American counterparts in making commitment to the Zionist regime, a defining issue in their campaigns for highest office. Liz Truss, the Foreign Secretary, and Rishi Sunak, the Chancellor, trumpeted their pro-Israel credentials over the weekend as the Zionist regime killed 45 Palestinians, including 16 children, and injured hundreds more. As expected, Western leaders came out solidly in support of the Israeli regime, even though on this occasion there was not even the pretense that the Israeli regime was retaliating for rockets fired out of Gaza. The Zionist regime initiated the hostilities, claiming its strikes were meant to prevent an alleged attack by the Palestinian resistance group with an anti-tank missile. One can imagine how politicians in the United States and Europe would have reacted had a Palestinian faction justified firing rockets into the occupied territories, unprovoked on the basis that it wished to deter future Israeli regime airstrikes. But in any case, if deterrence really was the Zionist regime's aim, its attack had precisely the opposite effect. In fact, it is never mentioned by Western politicians or media, Palestinians, unlike the Zionist regime, actually have a right in international law to resist the Zionist regime militarily, and not only because the Israeli regime has been belligerently occupying their lands for decades. The Israeli regime has additionally subjected Gaza to a 15-year blockade that has tightly controlled who and what is allowed in and out of the tiny, heavily overcrowded coastal enclave. Gaza has been left in ruins by a series of Israeli regime attacks over more than a decade, what the Israeli regime army calls mowing the lawn. Gaza's trapped 2.1 million inhabitants suffer serious shortages of food, clean water, medicines, and electricity. Malnutrition and poverty are endemic. Last year, the head of the United Nations, Antonio Guterres, observed, "If there is a hell on earth, it is the lives of children in Gaza. That hell is entirely man-made by the fake regime of Israel." Perhaps the most flagrantly hypocritical comment on the recent events came from Ivan Kornichuk, the Ukrainian ambassador to the Zionist regime. He tweeted out a message of support for the Israeli regime that turned reality on its head. But it was the Israeli regime that initiated the attack, not the Palestinians. And it was women and children in Gaza, not in the occupied territories, who died under Israeli bombs. His comments serve to underscore the wider hypocrisy of Western politicians, who for years have either minimized or supported the Zionist regime's regular aggression against Gaza. The double standard was starkly evident in the case of the two contenders for Johnson's crown. Recently, Truss and Sunak laid out their unwavering support for the Zionist regime at the very moment it was killing Palestinian civilians in Gaza. They did so to their party's main pro-Israel lobby group, the Conservative Friends of Israel, or CFI. Truss averred, "The UK should stand side by side with Israel, now and well into the future. As Prime Minister, I would be at the forefront of this mission," unquote. Comments from Truss, the bookmaker's favorite, particularly stick in the craw. Truss' government has increased arms sales to the Israeli regime, to record levels, even as the Israeli regime chucks Gaza and Jewish settlers in the West Bank and East Al-Quds still ever more Palestinian land. It is also unthinkable that Truss would agree to freeze Israeli regime assets in the UK and use them to help reconstruct long-suffering Gaza, or that she would back Britain's going to fight with the Palestinian resistance against the Israeli regime's suffocating blockade of Gaza. More than a decade ago, an investigation by Channel 4 described CFI as by far Britain's most powerful pro-Israel lobbying group. Its members were reported to have donated more than £10 million to the party between 2001 and 2009. Which may explain why Truss wrote in her letter, "CFI members are some of our most valued, passionate, and committed supporters. I have no doubt that the strength of the Conservative Party's support for the State of Israel stems in large part from the important role that you all play," unquote. That sounds a little too much like an admission that the Tory Party's and her own unconditional backing for the Israeli regime derives, at least in part, from the financial leverage exerted by wealthy pro-Israel donors. It was almost as an afterthought that Truss noted her commitment to the Israeli regime was also because it is the right thing to do. As Truss and Sunak face separate hussings organized by CFI over the next few days, the pair will be encouraged to outcompete each other in demonstrating their loyalty to the fake regime of Israel. That said, it is hard to imagine what more they can offer. Truss strongly hints that she wants to follow the example set by former US President Donald Trump and move the British embassy from Tel Aviv to Al-Quds in defiance of international law. Peace talks that the Israeli regime has long stymied are premised on Palestinians receiving occupied East Al-Quds as the capital of the future Palestinian state. The Zionist regime has been actively preempting that possibility by helping Jewish settlers take over Palestinian lands in the city and making life ever harder for the Palestinian population there to drive them out. Truss said she had been holding conversations about where the embassy is sited with Israeli regime Prime Minister Yair Lapid, who approved the latest attacks on Gaza, backed Trump's relocation of the U.S. embassy to Al-Quds in 2018. For Trump, the move was intended to pander to his electoral base of U.S. evangelicals. They wish to shore up Jewish control of the region to bring about an end times in which Christians alone rise to be with God, as they claim. Now Truss appears ready to emulate Trump. In her letter, the foreign minister also promises to cement Britain's ties with the Israeli regime by expediting a free trade agreement being drafted by the government. Truss has said closer trade is a priority. Human rights groups like Amnesty International have warned against Britain hastily negotiating such an agreement, warning that it may incentivize Israel's system of apartheid, help the Israeli regime expand its illegal settlements, and give a stamp of approval to Israeli regime efforts to annex Palestinian land under occupation. Truss vows, too, a further crackdown on the international boycott movement, backing a US-style bill to prevent public bodies, including local councils, from joining the BDS campaign to divest funds from the Israeli regime for its illegal activities in the occupied territories. She says BDS causes needless division. Presumably, the division that concerns her is antagonizing the Israeli regime's aggressive lobbyists in the UK, not fueling tensions with Palestinians, their supporters, and human rights groups. Given inaction by Western governments, solidarity expressed through boycotts is effectively the only non-violent way for individuals and organizations to punish the fake regime of Israel, whether for its continuing crimes against ordinary Palestinians or its efforts to steal and colonize their land, or its moves to frustrate the emergence of a Palestinian state. By outlawing peaceful resistance to the Israeli regime's belligerent occupation, Truss would leave Palestinians and their supporters with a stark choice: either promote violent forms of resistance or sit quietly while the Israeli regime inflicts death by a thousand cuts on Palestinian statehood and by any hopes of peace. Truss makes clear that she will characterize any effort to hold the Israeli regime to account as anti-Semitism. She intends to silence criticism of the Israeli regime for its human rights abuses at the United Nations, one of the very few international forums where the Israeli regime faces scrutiny. The truth, as illustrated by these bipartisan double standards, is that no UK party leader is prepared to found their foreign policy on genuine ethical principles or humanitarianism, whatever they claim. Their knee-jerk support for the Israeli regime follows from a recognition of global power dynamics. Western neocolonial interests are what sets the agenda in the oil-rich, conflict-prone West Asia region, a region where the super-powerful lobbies of the fossil fuel industry and the arms manufacturers have so much at stake financially. It is those narrow, cynical elite interests that British governments serve, not some notion of the greater public good, which is why the Israeli regime knows it is free to pound Gaza whenever it chooses, with no consequences except for the Palestinians facing its bombs.